The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Yeah, ballistic missile attacks directed in the area of central Israel and northern Israel continue. But after several false alarms last night, a missile attack materialized. But instead of hundreds of missiles and drones, there were tens of missiles and drones. There were some that got through. We've seen some four impacts in Herzliya, which is just north of Tel Aviv. One struck a parking lot where a bus was set on fire. We've also got reports that a residence was hit. No one was home at the time and no one was injured. It all happens as President Trump abruptly left the G7 summit in Canada and posted an ominous message to his Truth Social, concluding with the line, everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran. Israeli warplanes continue to aggressively target Iran. This morning, the IDF claims to have killed Ali Shadmani, Iran's newly appointed wartime chief of staff. He was the most senior military commander closest to the Grand Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, but he only had the job for 4 days. He was appointed after his predecessor was killed in the early stages of what Israel is now calling, or has been calling, Operation Rising Lion. We know through our Pentagon team that the U.S. is moving mid-air refueling tankers to Europe to possibly assist in the efforts here in the Middle East. Also, the USS Nimitz carrier strike group has been moved to the Middle East ahead of schedule. All of this, as President Trump posted to Truth Social, that he's not leaving the G7 to work on a ceasefire. It's much bigger than that, he wrote.
Do you think if the U.S. got involved militarily, it would actually wipe out Iran's nuclear program? Or where's your assessment of that?
I hope their program's going to be wiped out long before that. But they're not going to have a nuclear weapon.
And imagine what this regime that caused death to America every time, that bombed your American embassies, that murdered 241 Marines in Beirut, that killed and injured thousands of American servicemen in Iraq and Afghanistan, that tried to blow up a restaurant in Washington, that burns the American flag. You want these people to have nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them to your cities? Today it's Tel Aviv, tomorrow it's New York. I understand America first. I don't understand America dead. That's what these people want. They chant death to America. So we're doing something that is in the service of mankind, of humanity, and it's a battle of good against evil. America does, should, and does stand with the good. That's what President Trump is doing, and I deeply appreciate his support.
Bibi Netanyahu yesterday saying, I understand America first, but I don't understand America dead. They're chanting this every week in Iran. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Thanks to Richard Palmer for subbing in on yesterday's show. And we've got some news to report on Celtic Throne. They're making their way out of Israel, and hopefully, if they can get on some flights, they'll make their way to the UK later today or tomorrow. So the final two shows in Israel were canceled because of the war, and those were in Beersheba and then also Jerusalem. So sad to not be able to perform, especially in Jerusalem, but hopefully we'll return at some point. We have Haifa feedback, by the way. They got out of Haifa. You may have seen some of the ballistic missiles hit Haifa and even killed a few people, a few Israelis. They got out of there just the other night, and the war started, I think, hours later. So on the run to some extent, and so much to get to on today's show. I do have quite a few longer clips to just kind of bring everybody up to speed with the latest developments in Little Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu, for his part, he's been on quite a few talk shows to basically give what you just heard there, a warning for the Western world. And in Israel, in so many ways, they're on the front lines, My father gave a program, it was earlier this year, I think back in January, and he made some statements. You can play the first one from that Key of David.
Mr. Netanyahu is a real warrior, I think, and so is General Flynn. And I wonder, you see, again, men like this are going to have to be used, or, well, it's going to be a black path that Donald Trump is going to be walking on.
This is something that we've said and written in our literature for many, many years, that warrior spirit that Benjamin Netanyahu has, and we've talked earlier this year about that warrior spirit, how it's missing from the Trump administration. But at least, I mean, judging by some of his remarks yesterday, he says he's no longer in the mood to negotiate. So in this case, it seems that President Trump even is showing more of a backbone. You obviously know where Bibi Netanyahu stands, and Israel for that matter, because the strikes continue, and they continue to take out the leadership. They continue to take out the ballistic missile sites. And of course, they're hoping to dismantle or blow up those nuclear facilities as well. Here's a second soundbite from my father's show earlier this year.
Mr. Trump really does not want a war. But sometimes you can't avoid that. That's what happened with the Jews. What else could they do? And now they're dealing with the devil. And that's not going to bring any good fruits. I think that this is something that is going to be with us for a long time. When you're out there and you're fighting for everything in America, and he has done that, and God has used him to do it. It's prophesied. We explain all that in the new throne of David, if I don't get time to get into it today. Here you have a man fighting and winning like nobody has in the Middle East for quite some time, as Netanyahu was. And here he has the will to fight for his nation in a war. And that's the kind of ally you need if he's going to fight for freedom. And there may be political differences in that, but this is not politics. This is about winning a war for all politicians. And that certainly is what Israel is facing right now. It is a nightmare, and it's a colossal tragedy. But what we see in the Jewish state right now, it's kind of the ultimate fight. And their nation and its survival depends on it. Fight, or die as a nation. That's what it's all about.
It's amazing how similar that message is to what Mr. Netanyahu was saying just yesterday. I understand America first, and you know about the MAGA party, the movement. It's split down the middle of those that just don't want any wars. But as my father says there, sometimes you can't avoid it. You have to look at your enemies. You have to be a realist. Fight. It's not enough just to fight the enemies at home. There's enemies abroad that want to annihilate us. And Bibi Netanyahu, he's a man on the mission. We gave you this quote from our Ezekiel booklet on Friday, I think it was. The only other modern leader outside of God's church who has delivered a watchman warning similar to Sir Winston Churchill would be former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It says, when Barack Obama started negotiating a nuclear deal with Iran, the world's leading sponsor of terrorism, only Mr. Netanyahu came to speak before the U.S. Congress, warning them of the catastrophic consequences of such a nuclear deal. I mean, here we are years on from this history, recent history. And now we're to the point where Iran is just weeks maybe or months away from having a nuclear weapon. And there's plenty of people in the MAGA movement that are fine with that. I'll get to that a little bit later. It's mind-boggling. But for his part, as I say, judging by what Bibi has said, he has the support this time of President Trump. Listen to President Trump on Air Force One yesterday, clip one.
I didn't say I was looking for a ceasefire. That was Emmanuel, nice guy, but he doesn't get it right too often. But we're looking for better than a ceasefire.
Is there any new concern about U.S. troops or assets in the region at all today?
Great people, they know how to protect themselves.
And when you say better, what's...
Oh, we'll come down so hard if they do anything to our people. We'll come down so hard that the gloves are off so beautifully.
What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here?
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
So something that would be permanent.
Yeah. Or giving up entirely. Is that okay too?
And then later, I think I might have the clip later on. He says, I'm not in the mood for a negotiation. How can you negotiate with these madmen? As Bibi says, how do you sit down when they're vowing to annihilate you, to destroy you? I mean, they can talk a good talk when the diplomats come into town to discuss peace. But then you look at their actions. Charles Krauthammer, the late journalist, he said about that speech Bibi gave back in 2015, talked about it being a poignant message. And then my father says in the booklet, unlike during World War II, however, the people are not going to choose a political watchman like Netanyahu or Churchill. God himself has to appoint a watchman to warn the people. This time it's a servant of God, a minister that's out there giving you messages like the one from the Key of David in January. And then to see Netanyahu echoing some of those same points, those poignant remarks. It's pretty amazing. You can see why we wrote what we wrote in the Ezekiel booklet. Here he is out front. He's on the front lines. He says first it's Tel Aviv, then it's New York. It's amazing that there aren't more commentators, even advisors to President Trump, who can see how dangerous this threat is. Listen to, I don't think I played number three. Go ahead.
Are you open to negotiating with the Iranians right now, or do you want to wait?
I don't know. I've been negotiating. I told them to do the deal. They shouldn't have done the deal. Their cities have been blown to pieces. They've lost a lot of people. They should have done the deal. I told them, do the deal. So I don't know, I'm not too much in a mood to negotiate.
Do you think you'll be?
Andrew Roberts, he has a piece at the Free Press titled Trump's Churchillian Choice at Fordo. That's the other nuclear site in Iran, Natanz and Fordo. And Roberts gives some important history here from 1940 and Winston Churchill and just how much courage it takes to act preemptively. And of course, there are those like Tucker Carlson that see any preemptive action as just wanting to, feed into the warmonger mindset to keep the military-industrial complex going. And to be sure, America has been weak in recent decades, and we haven't claimed victories. Your Bible has something to say about that. Losing the will to act. It says here, preemptive action sometimes works, but it requires remarkable leadership qualities. Does President Trump have them? Does he have that Churchillian spirit? Well, we'll see. It says, for if Iran's centrifuges are still spinning in its nuclear facility 300 feet underground at Fordo, then Israel will have only scored a tactical win rather than the strategic victory she needed. The successes against the upper echelons of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard, military high command, and nuclear scientists are commendable, but nothing like enough. It says only the U.S. has the 30,000-pound bunker-busting bombs necessary to shatter Iranian nuclear ambitions. To get to the bottom of those facilities, they're deep underground as it is. It's going to take America's firepower. And, you know, America could have acted already. When did this war start? I guess last Thursday. So will he rise to this level, this Churchillian choice that he has with respect to Fort O and the bunker-busting bombs needed? Listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, clip 11.
We're fighting this larger war against this oppressive regime that has oppressed the Iranian people for 46 years, that has spread mayhem, violence, and terror throughout the Middle East and well beyond. They tried to assassinate President Trump twice. They tried to kill me twice. They actually had their proxies shoot a drone right into my bedroom window. They're targeting every one of our ministers, key ministers, for death. So they speak a good line, but they don't walk the walk. We have to remove that threat. And I think it's a larger battle. It's a battle of civilization against barbarism. This regime is the cult of death. Don't make any mistakes about it. And sometimes, you know, the forces of civilization have to act before it's too late. We did.
They did it. You got to give them credit. They went after the cult of death. This Andrew Roberts piece. Donald Trump today has it in his power to act with Churchillian ruthlessness and wreck Iran's nuclear and thus regionally strategic ambitions for a generation. I fear he will not do this, however, for as his constant, gives a long word I'm not familiar with, over tariffs have shown, his bark tends to be much worse than his bite. I mean, this is something that we have been noting in recent months, particularly with respect to the foreign policy, the tough talk, you know, the red lines, hostages, you name it. But does he have the power to act with Churchillian ruthlessness? Because look at the way the mullahs behave. Bibi just listed it off. And it's a shame we have to be reminded that we're dealing with ruthless killers. Murderers. They want to destroy Jews first and then the big Satan, as they see it. It says here, if he doesn't act with this Churchillian ruthlessness, then he ought to remove Winston Churchill's bust from the Oval Office, as he should not be able to look in the eye the man who said at the time of the Munich Agreement in October 1938, do not suppose that this is the end. This is only the beginning of the reckoning. This is only the first sip, the first foretaste of a bitter cup, which will be proffered to us year by year, unless by a supreme recovery of moral health and martial vigor, we arise again and take our stand for freedom. As in the olden time. This, as Bibi is reminding us, this has been a lesson that Western democracies have had to learn painfully over and over again, which is why you need Churchillian ruthlessness to preemptively act. It takes courage. It takes courage. It takes honesty to just admit what you're facing, to be honest with the people. Whether the Israelis or Americans. Listen again to Netanyahu from yesterday, clip 12.
But U.S. officials tell us that the president flatly rejected a plan, an opportunity that the Israelis had to take out the supreme leader. Do you understand his concern? My understanding is his concern is that this would escalate the conflict beyond where it is already.
It's not going to escalate the conflict. It's going to end the conflict. We've had half a century of conflict spread by this regime that terrorizes everyone in the Middle East, has bombed the Aramco oil fields in Saudi Arabia, is spreading terrorism and subversion and sabotage everywhere. That's the forever war is what Iran wants. And they're bringing us to the brink of nuclear war. In fact, what Israel is doing is preventing this, bringing an end to this aggression. And we can only do so by standing up to the forces of evil. Look, democracies have had to learn this lesson. You know, they faced a tyrannical regime, a radical fanatic regime. For 40 years, I've been saying, actually 3 years after the establishment of this radical Islamist Ayatollah regime in Tehran, I said that the greatest danger, not only to the survival of my country, but to the peace of the world, is Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. And they are on the brink of achieving that. So imagine what they're doing now without nuclear weapons, chanting death to America without nuclear weapons. Imagine what will happen if they had nuclear weapons and the ICBMs, the intercontinental ballistic missiles, to deliver it to every place on Earth. We're preventing the most terrific war imaginable, and we're bringing peace to the Middle East. And I believe that after our action, we're going to be able to bring the Middle East to new heights that nobody even imagined, you know, make the Middle East great again.
Operation Rising Lion. I was just reading Proverbs 28 this morning. The first verse, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." You need lion-like boldness when you live in such an evil and dangerous world. Now, we obviously have insights into how everything's going to play out. God told us in prophecy, the sure word of prophecy. But still, you know, looking at the Israelites today, little Judah being one of those tribes, when you see some lion-like qualities, I mean, that's inspiring. I mean, there's obviously spiritual lessons to take away from it as well. Our adversary goes about like a roaring lion. So you can't confront that with lamb-like characteristics. You've got to be as bold as a lion. You've got to be courageous. You've got to show some Churchillian ruthlessness. And that's what BB's showing right now. And he's got support in Israel because they understand the danger. They're right there in the neighborhood. How easy it is for someone in the comfy confines of MAGA here at the United States to say, well, this isn't our fight. Just let them duke it out. Don't send them a dime. Don't show your support. Certainly don't give them the bunker buster bomb. This is President Herzog from Israel yesterday as well, clip 9.
And let's not delude ourselves. For decades, Iran has been spreading havoc, terror, hate, building a massive missile program and a massive nuclear program, and with its proxies all over the place, simply planning to destroy Israel. And by the way, by that, regaining full control or gaining full control of the jihadist regime over the Middle East. And from there on, Europe is the next stage. And one has to realize it. We are not inventing. We didn't seek this war. None of us did. From October 7th onward, we've been fighting these proxies of Iran. And the message that I'm sending here is clear. What we are doing is contributing substantially to the defense and security interests of more of all Western and free world countries, and leaders of whom are convening this morning in Alberta, Canada. And that is why what we are doing is supporting the security interests of these nations.
First Tel Aviv, then they're going after European cities, then the United States. It's interesting, even with respect to Europe, this is from the Times of Israel. Germany's Merz says Israel is doing the dirty work for all of us by countering Iran. Germany's saying, hey, Israel's doing a good job. I mean, this is amazing when you think about eventually, they're probably not going to get to take out the entirety of those nuclear facilities because of Western weakness. And we know from Daniel 11 that it's a German-led Europe that comes against Iran with blitzkrieg warfare, some Churchillian ruthlessness.
And here you've got Mertz congratulating Israel. They're doing the dirty work. You got to give them credit. This is the dirty work Israel is doing for all of us, he said. We are also victims of this regime. This mullah regime has brought death and destruction to the world. And like Bibi is out there saying, it's been going on for 50-some years. I mean, you talk about a forever war. Iran has been forever at war with Judah, with America, with the West. And how are you going to stop it? They, like the president said there, we didn't choose this war. It's exactly the same as October 7, and which, by the way, was carried out by an Iranian proxy. Americans and Israelis murdered, held hostage. This is what we're facing. You're going to face that with a lamb-like characteristic or trait? Or with some Churchillian ruthlessness? Says here, speaking to broadcaster Welt, Mertz says the leadership in Tehran has been weakened by Israel's attacks in the past few days. This regime is very weakened and will probably not return to its former strength, making the future of the country uncertain. We'll have to wait and see, he says. So already Germany preparing for its support of Israel. What an unlikely pairing that is, given the history in World War II, when you actually had a Churchill on the scene who was prepared to act with some ruthlessness. He knew the peace talks were just a sham. And he stood alone with lion-like courage. He was as bold as a lion and saved the West. Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's quite a student of that history. He's studied a lot about Winston Churchill over the years. And he's standing alone as a bold lion when he has to. This war in the MAGA movement, I think this is MSNBC's take on just some of those voices that are out there, like Steve Bannon and Tucker Carlson, that just do not want any kind of preemptive action. None. This is clip six.
Tucker Carlson going on Steve Bannon's show yesterday and again saying that Donald Trump going along with Netanyahu could not only destroy the American empire, but also destroy his presidency. We've heard other people, other Fox News commentators, and others out there in the right-wing MAGA sort of media sphere talking about this civil war that's coming domestically inside, saying that Donald Trump's going to destroy his presidency. So is that what he's saying? Donald Trump supporting Israel is really America first, and that's why people need to just, you know, people on MAGA base need to go along with this?
Yeah, that's the subtext here. There's been a real divide, particularly in the last couple of days, and it really exploded yesterday, as you said. So almost a civil war within the MAGA movement. There's the Tucker Carlson wing that is saying, don't be involved in Iran. You know, when Donald Trump first ran for office 10 years ago yesterday, he pledged to not be involved in these forever wars, no more Middle East entanglements and the like. America first, much more of an isolationist view. Then there's the other side of this. Mark Levin, Charlie, some of the Rupert Murdoch and others, members of that wing, who say, no, now is the time where Iran is weak. The U.S. should be involved, if not directly, but at least support Israel's efforts. And there is a schism here, yeah. And President Trump, well aware of this schism. He, in fact, called Tucker Carlson kooky last night in a social media post after Carlson called him complicit in what we're seeing in Iran right now. And I am told by people close to the president, he's mindful of trying to satisfy both bases. And that's why we're getting a little bit of a waffling as to he's not quite sure how to navigate this very fast-moving situation in the Middle East.
And I think they're right. You know, it's easy to pick on these people, the meltdown people. But I think there is some waffling going on. Some strong statements. But then there's the wing of the party that wants no action, zero action, This was Tucker on, you can skip ahead to number 13. Tucker with Steve Bannon yesterday.
And I feel like there aren't many people representing the, hey, let's have less violence and focus on America side of things. So it's worth coming just to say that out loud. Of course, you're hated for it. It's crazy how the people who are against killing are the criminals all of a sudden. It's wild. And I thought the other day, oh, this is accelerating, and I was hearing all this, you know, going to war with Iran, and I was, part of me was like, oh, we're not really going to do that. After we have this election whose core point was, hey, can we just pay attention to this amazing nation that we have that's suffering? And
can we just have less violence? Like, you mean like October 7? Where a mass amount of Jews, 1,200, were murdered. Hundreds taken hostage by Iran, the head of the snake. You think, I loved Bibi's response. I mean, there's some that say if you take out the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, it could escalate the situation. No, actually, that ends it. And here again, spoken like a historian who understands a thing or two about Bible history. I mean, go to where the agitator is and you take that out and then the people will rejoice. If you take them out, though, and this is the way America has been reasoning for 25 years. What happened in Israel over the last few days, striking Iran, is what America should have done immediately after 9/11. Let's not forget 9/11. We're choosing no violence. Well, we didn't choose 9/11. Israel didn't choose October 7. Violence came upon them. And how do you respond? Well, in some cases, you act preemptively, as Andrew Roberts wrote about. And you have to act with some Churchillian courage. Listen to Steve Bannon for his part, clip 5.
I'm all for having a War Powers Act debate right now.
Exactly. I agree.
Let's have the American people weigh in, because you're going to see the American people are 90% against forever wars. And even people that support Israel are saying exactly what we're doing here. We thought we had this thing in Gaza you had to clean up with the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. Next thing you know, we're bombing Tehran, and you're taking incomings. What's happened in Tel Aviv over the last 24 hours is pretty shocking, because you're taking these ballistic missiles. What's Trump been saying? Everybody calm down. Let's get back to the table. I can get actual thing. And he said, I can get it. We can take it apart. We can blow it up if we want to, but I can cut a deal. And Witkoff and Trump, if you got to talk about two deal makers that are not like diplomats, but guys actually going to get stuff done, I feel more confidence with Steve Witkoff and Donald Trump trying to work something out than continue on the shooting war.
No shooting. Just work something out. Just sit down and talk to them. And the Iranians, I mean, they love that kind of reasoning. Yeah, sure, we'll talk. I mean, we're going to keep the centrifuges going, but we'll talk. We'll talk about peace even. Even as they chant in all their rallies every weekend, death to Israel and death to America. It's so easy to talk about less violence and less shooting. And then when the shooting comes after you, well, what would most Americans do? they'd probably uphold their Second Amendment rights, which is why so many people have guns. Because the realist and everyone understands that we're living in an evil world, a dangerous world, a violent world. We're about to see violence explode on a mass scale. And all of these aggressor nations, they prey on weakness, weak leadership. And there's a lot of that to go. There's a lot of waffling to go around. Listen again to Tucker with Bannon, clip 14.
Whether or not you believe in Christianity, whether or not you're a Christian, it doesn't matter. It is true that people who espouse violence suffer in the end. They do. I have seen it a lot. And I grew up in a world that espoused violence. That's what the U.S. government does. My dad was involved in it. And I just believe that. And maybe you don't believe that. That's fine. That is my core belief. I sincerely think that. But why the hate towards someone who's just like, hey, I'm hard. If you think, and I said this to an Israeli official, if you think I'm anti-Israel, man, you have lost the plot, son. If you think I'm your enemy, not at all. I like Israel. Are you kidding? I've spent a lot of time there. I continue to like it. I pray that Jerusalem is not damaged. I feel so sad for the Israelis who've been killed in the last couple of days and the Iranians who've been killed in the last couple of days. It had nothing to do with any of this. But the point is, if you think that saying, hey, let's focus on my country where I was born, where my family's been for hundreds of years, that was the promise of the last election, please do it. If you think that's hate, you know, you've really lost perspective, I guess is what I would say.
Jonathan Tobin at JNS. Why does Tucker Carlson want to appease Tehran? It says, while Carlson's impact on public opinion has declined since he was booted out of his prominent perch at Fox and relegated to an internet show, his influence within the inner circles of the Trump administration seems not only undiminished, but perhaps increased. It says none of the controversies surrounding him, including his platforming of Israel haters, anti-Semites, and Holocaust deniers, has made him radioactive enough to be exiled from the presidential court at the White House or Mar-a-Lago. It says, to the contrary, his show has regularly hosted administration figures in recent months. And he talks about the spat between Carlson and Levin, who had lunch with President Trump last week. And as I say, you've got advisors with strong views on both sides, and they want the president's ear. And evidently, Carlson, even without his Fox show, he's had quite a lot of influence. Although, as you heard earlier, for the president to say he's kooky now, that would suggest again that the president's leaning away from Carlson and his influence. Somebody please explain to kooky Tucker Carlson that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That's what he tweeted out yesterday. This was President Trump responding to Carlson's criticism over the Israel-Iran war, clip 7.
Do you have any response to Tucker Carlson criticizing you, saying that you were complicit in the war?
I don't know what Tucker Carlson is saying. Let him go get a television network and say it so that people listen.
And quickly, have you spoken to Zelensky?
Wow, that's quite a jab. After the kooky comment as well, let him go get a network so he can get his message out there to a larger audience. This is from that same article, though. It says, while only one person is in charge in the current White House, Trump, there's no question but that some of his new foreign policy advisors seem to share an aversion to confronting Tehran. Among them are Vice President J.D. Vance and Tulsi Gabbard, the Director of National Intelligence, and both are friends of Carlson. This is what President Trump had to say yesterday about Tulsi Gabbard's report, that something along the lines that Iran isn't the threat that we've traditionally thought. Clip 8.
Because Tulsi Gabbard testified in March that the intelligence community said Iran wasn't building a nuclear weapon.
I don't care what she said. I think they were very close to having.
So here's Tulsi Gabbard in Trump's cabinet. I don't care what she said. So again, you can see why there's some waffling, judging by the number of people surrounding the U.S. president. It says Carlson's position on Iran, this is back to that JNS piece, his stance seems unquestionably rooted in a desire to abandon American strategic interests in the region, imperil Israel, and empower the West-hating Iran and its Qatari ally. It's like we've noted, it's very similar to the Obama doctrine. Very similar. Just let them have their nukes. Easy for you to say. It says here, when one combines this with his willingness to engage in advocacy against the war in Gaza that is being fought against Iran's Hamas allies, which is like the same positions taken by woke left-wingers, inextricably linked to anti-Semitism, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that Carlson's hysteria about those who oppose appeasement of Iran is motivated by something other than American patriotism. What is wrong with these people in the MAGA movement? What is wrong with their thing? It shows you how strong the spirit of surrender and negotiation, appeasement, it's strong. And there's only a few that will stand up and be willing to take some righteous, bold action, some Churchillian ruthlessness. How easy is it for some of these critics to just sit back and talk about how they don't want shooting, they don't want violence, they just want to focus on the problems here at home? What Israel did last week, in a matter of hours, I sat down at the news last night. I forget which Fox program it was on, but there were two guests, and both of them, that now we don't want to escalate it because we've got American interests all over the region, and Iran is powerful. And I told my wife, how depressing. Israel, they probably can't get to the bottom of Fordow unless the U.S. provides its firepower. But look at what little Israel was able to accomplish in a matter of hours. Iran had to replace one of their top generals, and I think he lasted for 4 days. They took him out. They've taken out the top leadership, the military brass. Now, you better not go after the supreme leader because that will escalate the situation. No, actually, it ends the war. You get rid of the dictatorship. You get rid of the authoritarian regime. Now, you look at some of the forever wars that Carlson and company complain about, and you think, okay, we got regime change 20-some years ago in Iraq. What did that accomplish? Well, you still have a state sponsor of terror that's about to get a nuclear weapon. The stakes are so much higher than taking out Saddam Hussein or invading Afghanistan for a few years. Yeah, it didn't end well for the United States because it didn't have the will to actually go in with some Churchillian ruthlessness. Herbert Armstrong is the one that said decades ago, America's won its last war because the spirit of appeasement, the spirit of surrender, it's so strong. I mean, look at Isaiah 3, and God tells you what he's taken away. We don't have the warrior generals. My father brought that out in January on the Key of David. We just don't have it. Instead, we have been surrendering. And we talk about not wanting any more shooting, no more violence. But that's not how America's enemies talk. Not at all. Listen to... a lot of this is really a response to Tucker Carlson. It's the BB clip. Where is that? 8, 9... We had one last BB clip. If you guys know the number, just go ahead and play it.
You mentioned the support of the American people. There are some prominent supporters of President Trump who say that the United States should not be involved at all. Let me give you, for example, Tucker Carlson, of course, has been close to President Trump for quite some time, speaks to him frequently. He said the United States should not at any level participate in war with Iran. No funding, no American weapons, no troops on the ground. There is another option. Drop Israel, let them fight their own wars. What do you say to those supporters of President Trump, some of his supporters, who say the United States should not be involved in any way?
We're not just fighting our enemy, we're fighting your enemy. For God's sake, they chant, death to Israel, death to America. We're simply on their way. And this could reach America soon. I mean, to have these mad mullahs who are committed to destroying us in order to destroy you, to say that they should have nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles to deliver them to you, and to say that that's not your interest. Well, we're fighting this war. We're taking the action. America's supporting us in defense, deeply, deeply appreciated. But this is a threat to the entire world. It's a threat to Israel, as I said, to our Arab neighbors, to Europe, to America. They chant death to America. It's though this is not your business. This is not myopia. This is utter blindness. I mean, sometimes you have to take a stand against evil. And that's what the American people instinctively understand, most of them, I have to say. And that's what President Trump understands. We cannot let that happen. We're certainly going to protect ourselves. But in so doing, John, we're protecting everyone else.
He's exactly right. And then the Tucker Carlson wing say, you know, we ought to drop Israel. We ought to drop Israel. Look at Israel's neighborhood. And then think about where the enemies come next. Israel's just a stepping stone, and he sees it. He sees it. What do you say to those that would say to Trump, drop Israel? I would say to them, we're fighting your enemy. We're on the front lines. You can see why Netanyahu is making the rounds. Because this is a message that doesn't get out unless Israeli officials are out there telling you the truth. What's happening on the ground? Bold as a lion. That's Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When we come back, we'll just dwell on this contrast that I've been talking about over the past week with what's happening in the world and what God is speaking or preaching through Celtic Throne 2. We've also got some feedback from Haifa. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily News. Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
Last week, I took you through that wonderful review from the Jerusalem Post. That was from, I believe, last Wednesday. And then the very next day, war broke out, or I might be a little off on the timing there. But the contrast, it's really stunning. I mentioned from that JP article that the author, besides the glowing review, he was a little confused on the story. But this one here is, I think, does a pretty good job, actually, of summarizing the story that Celtic Throne 2 tells. It's from Aurora, Israel. The fascinating show, it says in the headline. The show tells the story of Olav Fola, the great master, considered in ancient tradition as a wise man and legislator, distinguished for his erudition, wisdom, and his wonderful laws, whose name is recorded in the annals of Ireland. It says, interrogated in the dance by Jude Fleury. It says, in Tel Aviv, this artist personally addresses the audience from the stage and explained in a mix of English and Hebrew that when asked the reason for this visit, they reply, we love Israel. And it gives the Hebrew words. as well, for we love Israel and we are family. This is true since the cast of Celtic Throne is made up of several family groups. You can see why the devil, among other things going on in the region right now, this strike on Iran, you can see why the devil would want to do everything possible to prevent this show, particularly when it's so well received in Israel. They were turning out. We had 1,900, then 1,500, then 1,500 again in Haifa. These are some of the biggest shows we've ever had. And Satan hates the message. He hates the meaning. He hates the history that's portrayed in this wonderful show. But those that got to see it, I mean, they were just almost overwhelmed by the experience. We'll conclude today's show with a few minutes of feedback from the Haifa show at the end of last week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
It's amazing. You guys are amazing.
So wonderful.
You're amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you.
The songs, the music, the dances. It was lovely.
Watching the show
enjoyed
is her
so
lifelong
much.
Dream.
That was my lifelong dream. So great. Thank you so much.
Beautiful show.
Excited to see more. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
It's amazing. It's something like, I never saw something like that. I never in my whole life. It's amazing.
Very beautiful. Excellent.
It's a very nice show. And we like the music. We like the dance. It's very nice. Really nice.
It's very good. Yes. Excellent.
Beautiful.
I think you're very talented and you have a lot of good energy and happy to be here.
It was amazing. It was so energizing. It was fantastic.
The best thing I've seen in a long time.
It was wild. Yeah. It was so amazing.
We want to go to the next one.
Yeah, we're going to meet you in Beersheba.
It was amazing. Thank you very much. It was great.
It was absolutely brilliant, way above what we expected. Really delighted we signed up for it. Immediately you advertised. And we'll be back when you come back again, okay?
It was beautiful. It was great, great. We are very impressed. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great, great moment. The spectacle was beautiful, wonderful, and...
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Outstanding.
Great. It was unbelievable. You are great, all of you.
I was really great. I love the music and the dancing were awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was really, really great. I loved it. It was great. Thank you a lot for coming to Israel. And the show was awesome. And the dynamics and the music and all the... Everything was great. Thank you a lot.
It's an amazing show. It was great. It was really great.
It was just amazing. Yeah,
you can. She's overwhelmed. Yeah. You made a dream come true because her dream is to go to Ireland, and so far she cannot.
And
we
I
cannot.
I was even crying all the show. I was so much excited that I cried from happiness. You know, it's just
yes, she did.
Incredible.
And it's a very hard work what you do.
Yeah.
Continue. It
will
be, it's worth
it. Back here and we will have a chance one more time to participate in this amazing show.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It was amazing show. And thank you for coming for Israel. Thank you very much.
Amazing. Wow. It was the most good show that I ever seen.
The best show.
I very enjoyed.
It was great.
Great.
The music, the show, the light, the dancers, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed very much.
Thank you for coming.
It's great and wonderful and very amazing how many steps and dancing, and you are not confusing at all. You are not confusing. It's great. Thank you very much.
And everybody is smiling and doing it so easily. It's amazing. It's an amazing show. We're happy saw that show.
Yeah, and we saw that you don't have even one mistake you didn't make it. This is amazing. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you that you come to
Israel. Thank you.